Blog Talk Radio.
Your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Thursday, April 21st, and today we're talking with fashion manicurist Nettie Davis. But before we speak with Nettie, Denise has some beauty news she wants to share with us.
Sorry about that. I had my television on and forgot. sorry. Just a reminder to catch everyone up on all of the episodes of Beauty Talk. The first six episodes are still available for your viewing pleasure on YouTube, www.youtube.com/illusionscosmetics. Webisodes 7 and 8 will be available shortly, so go ahead and catch up on the first six. The last two will be coming soon. Also coming soon is the new website for Beauty Talk, the web series. And we will give you that address when it's available. And for those, again, who may be interested in face and body painting, not the face and body painting convention, but the Face and Body Art International Convention is coming up in Orlando, Florida on May 25th and May 29th. And in 2012, the Face Painting Convention will be coming to the UK. So I'll be giving you more information on that as well. But for now, you can go to www.facepaintingconvention.co.uk. And for the Face and Body Art Convention in Orlando, you can go to fabaic.com. And makeup artist and former guest of Beauty Talk, Veronica Lang, once again is presenting a five-day beauty class on June 6th through June 10th at Cinema Secrets in Burbank. For more information on that, you can call Veronica personally at 213-700-6926, or you can visit her website, www.veronicalang.com. And that's all I have for tonight.
Cool. So welcome to the show, Nettie Davis.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're great. Thank you for joining us again.
Oh, glad to be here.
So let's just get right into it, Nettie. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, when you started your career as a fashion manicurist, and what inspired you to do so.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm from Houston, Texas. Born and raised. And I moved here about 7 years ago. I went to fashion school. And so when I got here, I aspired to be a fashion designer, but ended up as a costumer in the movie industry. Got injured and went back to manicuring and ended up meeting a couple of people that do what I do now.
Now, let me ask you this. How long has it been since you were a costumer?
Oh, wow. It's probably been about 4 years, as long as I've been a fashion manicurist. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So yeah,
you kind of knew the ins and outs of working in the
entertainment
industry.
Yeah, the entertainment industry. It's pretty much the same business. You're just doing something different.
Right. Exactly. And so what inspired you to become a fashion manicure?
Well, I it actually was kind of, I kind of fell into it because, like I said, I really wanted to do fashion, but let me reiterate that I had been doing nails since I was literally in the fourth grade, for my family, for my mom, for my grandmother. So it was like doing nails to me was like waking up in the morning. It was that easy. So it wasn't something that I thought I would do as a career. So when I was injured right. on the film, then I was like, okay, well, I'll try this for a little bit. And then it just kind of took over. And my extreme love for nails and things like that just came really, really easy. So I don't really feel like I work. It's just something fun that I do and people having to pay me for, which is nice. So that's
nice.
What it really is. I'm like, oh, you get to pay me for what I like to do. Cool. So that's, I just kind of fell into it, and now I don't want to get out of it, I guess. So there you go. Great.
Tell us a little bit about that particular job, though. What is a fashion manicure to do?
Oh, well, pretty much when a photo shoot is happening, everything, the ins and outs of a photo shoot, that person needs to be pristine from head to toe. So, you know, the hair person, makeup person, they need to, you know, do their job to the T, and I need to do my job to the T. So I have to give them a nice quick pedicure, a nice quick manicure, you know, of course, choose a coordinating color for, you know, that's going to match most of the wardrobe, or, you know, we might plan on changing it a couple of different times during the shoot, you know, to get, you know, maybe a couple of different looks. And so that's what I do. I take care of the nail part of the entire picture.
So, because I'm listening to you, you know, saying you wanted to be into fashion, do you think that having that fashion background really helped you with your career as a fashion manicure?
Absolutely. Because I don't know, I like to also incorporate, and those things inspire me as well. I like to incorporate different textures, and you know, like a sequins jacket. I like to put some sequins on some nails, you know, and things like that. So yeah, absolutely did. And plus, my hand sewing, having a steady hand for things like that, you know, making the, you know, a hand bound or, you know, making handmade buttonholes and things like that. It's about the same as like having a steady finger for, like, you know, putting sequins on or piling up, you know, rhinestones, and, you know, it's about the same. You have to have a steady hand and really, really know a balance to what you want, you know, as in too much or not enough.
Right.
Make it perfect for yourself. Yeah, I love it.
Now let me ask you, you know, being in this particular industry, how is it different being a fashion manicurist and having to know all that you have to know versus just being a manicurist at your local neighborhood salon?
I don't really think it's that different, actually, but it's only different as a necessity for a job. So when someone says, okay, you know, you need to be on a shoot right away or something like that, you're going not knowing what you're doing. So you don't know if you're doing gels or acrylics or a refill, a full set, minks. You really don't know what you're doing. So when you get there, you just need to know how to do everything and try to have everything at the director's or producer's or the artist's disposal. As in, you know, but, you know, it's different from someone coming to you. And, of course, you know, that you've already talked to them, and you know what they want. They are making an appointment for, you know, a full set of acrylics or gels or something like that. So, of course, you know, you're already prepared. But it's being a fashion manicurist is a little different in that aspect. It's kind of a whirlwind, you know. Like, oh, you know, we don't want the acrylics or, you know, or maybe that. And I guess it's also different because you're not in contact with the artist at first sometimes, the person you're actually doing. You're talking to maybe the assistant or the producer or you know, someone else indirectly. So you're like, okay, and when you get there, it might be, you know, the artist or actress might want something completely different. So that's the only difference between working in the shop and being on the road is, you know, you just have to be ready for everything.
Right. What happens when you're on set, you haven't talked to the actual artist, you don't know the condition of their actual nails, like what you're going to be working with. What happens when...
how do you handle it
when you get in there and their nails are just a mess?
That's the funny part. It's like, that's like I just said, it's the same. You have no idea what you're coming into, you know. And sometimes I run into, you know, how some people have I don't know, thumbs that look like toes. So I also have to add a toe tip to my kit to fit thumbs that are too wide. You know, it's just you have to be ready for everything. You have to be ready for everything. And however it looks, however awful it looks, since you're getting paid more than, you know, the basic manicures in the shop, you better make it perfect. So however the nails look, I don't care if she only has a couple of nails, you know, if she has no nail on one finger, paint the skin. Like, just make it look right for the time being, for the shoot or for the video, for the project. And, you know, everything will be fine. So it's pretty funny. But, like, yeah, sometimes it does happen like that. You know, and, you know, they have a couple of long nails and maybe two short nails, or just have broken it off into the skin. And it can be tedious, you know, because, you know, I want to hurt them, but like I got to get these nails off and put another set on and half the time. So there you go.
And
gotta be ready.
If I heard you correctly, you mentioned earlier that you have to be able to like work quickly.
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. And so usually it's, you know, the makeup artist is doing his or her thing, hair person, they're on it, and I don't know, well, rarely, but sometimes, they'll also be getting an interview from the magazine writer. And then I'm, usually sitting down, sitting on the floor with feet in my lap, trying to get that part done because I don't want to be in the way of the the makeup artist or the hair person. So I'm down below, and then we switch out, and so it's, you know, it can be hard on the artist and the actress because they're being pulled in every different direction because it needs to happen within, you know, at least an hour, 2 hours, so they can get into costume and ready for the project. Pretty crazy. But yeah, you have to work fast. You never want to lag behind. That's why before you even get started, like before I get started, I go and talk to the producers. Okay, well, what were you thinking? I like to collaborate with the producer and the stylist, you know, because, you know, they are so in tune with, you know, what nail color or what nail art might go with the wardrobe they've pulled. So yeah, we just get together. So everything's ready, you know, when I'm going in. I'm like, all right, I'm going in this color, this rhinestone, this tip, this shape. You know, and I try to plan it out in my head as best I can and get ready for the shooting, the whirlwind. Because after the photographers or the directors' creative flow starts to come through, things switch up. Okay, well, you know what? We were thinking that color, and now we want something completely different. So you have to be really, really quick and, you know, even running to set with polish, you know, being on your hands and knees and repainting toes or painting over a lighter color if you can get away with it, and just go, and hope, you know, and have a blow dryer with you, and, you know, just in case she's got closed toed shoes or she's got open toed shoes, you can only paint two toes anyway, and it's a whirlwind. But it happens. You just have to make the picture look right for the time being. It's pretty funny, and, you know, when they come out the shoes and they have like two red toes and three green ones, but
right.
If it's for the shoot, just make it happen and make it happen quick. So,
absolutely. You know, and some of those same things, you know, you apply to, and you know it yourself as a former, you know, costumer. Same thing applies with hair and makeup. Sometimes you just have to, you know, cheat a little bit or whatever just to make it happen fairly quickly.
Yes. I mean, because you want to make everyone happy, you know, and if things are lagging, I think that time is money, but also creativeness, you know, when people get an idea and they want to make it happen quick, because the idea has come so quick, you need to make it happen quick as well. So, got to be ready to roll with the punches.
Absolutely. Even though I think sometimes with makeup, more so like with effects type things, you know, a lot of times the directors want something and they think it could happen quickly. And they just don't understand that some of that stuff just don't work like that.
Yeah, and that's where the planning comes in. So hopefully, you know, you have, you know, a production that is really considerate of your work and really, you know, respective of, you know, what it takes to make his vision or her vision work, you know?
Right.
So it's
like you said, the most important words, you know, those who are considerate and respect.
Yes.
You know, your job.
Yes.
So
I'm sure you've been on a job before, and it's like you're doing your thing, and you know they start switching up things, and then they send the AD, you know, the third AD or whatever, to come and knock on the door every 15 minutes. You're like, I'm doing the best that I can, and it's great that person, you know, because it's always an indirect, you know, thing. It's not. You're not talking to the producer, but the producer has related to the director and so on and so forth. And so you have an AD coming and constantly, you know, trying to hurry us along so we can hurry up and wait anyway. But still, you know, if that AD, like, that's something that they could learn, you know, it's always be, you know, considerate, you know, to what we do.
Right.
Keep us on our toes.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that. But just be considerate of what we do.
Now let's talk about, because I know some, there may be some manicurists out there wanting to know about this. Let's talk a little bit about agency representation.
Okay.
As a manicurist, what does an agent do for you?
That's a good question. I think that an agent does the same thing for hair, makeup, and nails, which is pretty much help you with your career, you know, nurture you, get you into circles you wouldn't normally be in. You know, someone calls them, like maybe an advertising agency, and say, we need someone that can do this. And it's important that you have a book or, you know, a portfolio to show them, and if they like what they see, then, you know, they choose you. That's about it. I mean,
you know what? I'm glad you said what you said, because, you know, some people may answer the question, oh, well, you know, they get me jobs. Not to say that they don't, but I think it's good for artists, whether you're hair, makeup, nails, wardrobe. I think it's great for you to realize that they're there to nurture you and, like you said, to get you in the circles that you probably normally would not be in, so that
you could
at least be considered for the job. I would think that your portfolio and your resume would get you the job.
Well, only if it had lips to talk.
You need someone
that's gonna fight for you, you know, fight for a good high rate, because everyone and every, you know, it's every producer's job and every UPM's job to save money for the production, but not, it shouldn't be at the cost of your art, you know. And so, you know, they say, okay, well, you know, you can have my, you know, you can have Nettie, okay, but you need to pay a certain amount. Or, you know, keep her for a certain amount of hours, because she's highly sought after, and, you know, it's important. It's important. So everybody should get what they want. The production should get what they want. You should be happy with your work, and the artist should be happy with you. So that's pretty much it. But yeah, and then once you get into the circle, now it's works both ways, where you're now they represented you, so now you're on the set, and now you're representing them and yourself as well. So it's very, very important to keep those keep those relationships, you know, fresh.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, how does a manicurist create, well, I don't know if create is the best word, but put together a great portfolio? What would be a great portfolio for a manicurist? What kind of pictures would
Well, I guess a lot of nail shots. They shouldn't just be just nail shots. It should be, you know, like maybe some nails touching some lips, or, you know, just wonderful beauty shots. It's nice to have natural nails. And see, with a lot of manicures, because I know I was when I was young, crazy, overly crazy about nail art. And so, in the beginning, when I was getting my book together, and I was like, nail art, just more. I ran into, and they will tell you, please put as much natural nails in your book as you can. It's very odd, and I will look at them like, what are you talking about? This is my art. And they say, I understand that. But for fashion, it's going to be usually one color. You know, the shape of the nail is going to really feed into the story or the era that they're going for, and it's not always going to be nail art. It's not always going to be minks or rhinestones or, you know, it's not always going to be like that. It's going to be natural. So just make sure your book tells a lot about what you can do. So if you're putting a book together, put the crazy ghetto nails in there, put the crazy 80s nails in there, and also put great, a nice fresh French manicure, a nice, you know, natural nails, or just something that's buff, something that just looks beautiful and pristine. And manicure it, of course. There you go.
Well, you know, and that's the same with makeup.
Mm-hmm. You have to put on some nice, like, beauty shots, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to get a little crazy with it, too. So it has to show everything that you can do.
Exactly.
But not going overboard with all the art and...
Right, exactly.
Gotcha.
I think maybe if you have 10 things, maybe four things can be just a little crazy. Just a little.
Okay. Okay.
And everything else should be kind of in the mixture of, like, you know, because they look at it as, to me, as the big picture, you know, like, of the fashion, the model, like, everything will contribute to your picture, the makeup, everything. So when I was getting my book together, go ahead.
Well, now that you said that, because I'm thinking about, like, with makeup, you know, like, most makeup artists, we all go for, like, the most beautiful models with the great skin, and then
all
we do
that,
makeup on them, and then we shoot the photos, and we put in our books. So what about with nails? Are we going for someone who's hands, especially now that they have, that you're talking about doing the natural nails, someone that has the most beautiful hands, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yes. Just, I mean, because pretty much when you're putting your book together, you're setting it up as if you were the producer. So you're not going to get someone that's been, you know, scraping their knuckles on the concrete. You're going to get someone that, you know, wears gloves and possibly does it professionally and has, you know, nice long fingers with, you know, not so much, you know, scars or discoloration in the skin. So, yeah, you know, same thing when I was putting my book together. I wanted to see the portfolios of, you know, the makeup artist and the hair person, because I know that all of that contributes to the picture I'm putting in my book.
Gotcha.
And the photographer's book as well. So I want to see his book before we shoot. So, yeah.
Right. So photography is important.
Oh, yeah, because however they retouch my nails, I'm going to – I need to know the end result is going to be desirable. Because if not, then you've wasted a whole day on set. And we all know that those are some long days.
Right, and accomplish nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So a lot of planning, and just remember it's for your future. So just, you know, take it seriously. Don't just meet someone just because you like their personality. Trust, you know, their retouching or their photography. You really need to see some proof. It's all about business first.
Right. Now that's important stuff. So for those of you out there who are listening, I hope you're taking notes, especially those who are manicure. and would like to have, you know, agency representation. And even for those who are not seeking agency representation but just want to put a nice portfolio together for the purpose of seeking jobs.
Yes.
The same thing applies. You know, you're going to want that in your book.
Yeah, if you happen to be, because, you know, in the beginning we all represent ourselves anyway before we get with an agency. So you still need a book when you're on your own.
Right. Absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, about the nail trends. What's hot or what's new for summer 2011?
Oh, my goodness. Summer 2011. I think... Well, me personally, I love bright colors all year round. But I know a lot of people, you know, of course, you know, because color invokes mood and, you know, happiness, sadness, you know, excitement. So, of course, we all want to be pretty cool and happy in the summer. I, for one, am in love with teal. So I'm kind of, I love blue, but I'm a little over blue a little bit. And I love teal. I love bright teal. I love dark teal. I love it frosted. I love it matte. I love it cream. I love teal. Teal, yellow, bright yellows, Easter, you know, pastel yellows, nice pastel colors are always in, you know, beautiful pastel lavender colors, beautiful bright neon purple. Neon purple. Neon purple. Throw some neon purple in it. You know, I know we all love our hot pink, but throw some neon purple in it and watch crowd go crazy. So I'd be like, oh, neon purple. Where'd you get that? So that's what I'm thinking. Just out of the ordinary neon colors for summer.
Are there some particular brands that have some of these colors that you really like?
Well, Zoya is one of my favorites. They have amazing colors. Zoya and Essie, I would turn to them first, and if not, then, you know, OPI has always got your back. So.
And China Glaze is one of my favorites.
Oh, you know what? I love China Glaze too. They're for Audrey is like, ugh, just beautiful Tiffany blue. Love it, love it, love it. Well, that's hot always. Love it, love it, love it. So that's what I love. Beautiful, bright neon colors and pastels for summer.
And what about what color? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to say, what about nails for children? Like, how should kids' nails be groomed? And, like, what's, like, too young for a little girl to wear nail polish? Or is any age, I mean,
I, well, as long as they don't see this food, then they're old enough.
Right.
If they can let it dry, that would be good as well without, you know, messing it up. But as long as like I said, as long as they know that it's nail polish, not food, and they're old enough to wear nail polish, and it's nice to make it fun for them, and it should be, you know, like something that's formaldehyde free, like Zoya's brand or Spa Ritual, and I think it. I don't know. I think it really adds to. I don't have a daughter yet, but I think it would add to like the tea time, because that's what my mom did with me. We painted our nails, and she put rollers in my hair, and we do each other's nails. See, she totally started my career, and you know, it just adds to the whole girliness, you know, thing, and it just, I don't know, it's a nice me time and nice girl time with, you know, your kids. So.
Cool.
And add, you know, sparkles and sprinkles. Go ahead.
Let's talk about, like, we haven't been talking about it all night, but let's talk about nails.
Okay.
You know, gel nails, natural nails, you have minx nails, you know, what's the gel nail craze all about?
I think the gel nail craze is about, well, first of all, not having to be in a stinky, you know, I'm about to faint nail shop with the mm-hmm. acrylics. So I think that is the first, like, I don't know, that's the first craze, is that something that has no scent to it, and it's definitely healthier, Second thing is, I think it, well, it helps your nails to breathe a little bit better. You know, it's not as hard as acrylic. Acrylic's almost like a brick on your fingers, you know. Well, of course, depending on the thickness. But gels, especially gel polish these days, really help the nails to stay flexible and not be so
weighed down. The gel polish,
is that the
shellac that people
yes.
are talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. It's much, much thinner than regular gel. There's different
okay.
densities of gel. So there's like, you know, a full set of gels that's, you know, hardened as, you know, and can have the look of acrylic. And then there's, you know, gel polish as well that just look like
okay.
painted nails for, you know, a month, which is amazing.
Now which brands carry the shellac, or do they all?
Well, actually, shellac is the name brand of C&D, but it's called gel polish, and C&D has shellac, and Nail Harmony has gelish, and there's a lot of brands out there right now. Tom Bacik just came out with one, and he's amazing. And I don't know, it's a lot of colors out there swimming around. But the craze is that, you know, it allows your nail to be flexible, and you can keep your favorite color on for about a month, and it adds some strength to your nails as well.
So that's something that you polish over your nail color?
No, you polish it onto your nail, and
oh, okay.
you cure it. And if you wanted to, you can paint over it, and after you take your paint off or after it starts to chip or whatever, then your gel polish is still there. Waiting for you.
Oh, okay, because the shellac comes in colors.
Yes.
Gotcha.
It's really great.
The regular gel
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you were saying is a little bit healthier, is that kind of taking over the acrylic? Are a lot of people coming out of that and just going to the gel nail?
Absolutely. Well, I think actually the main reason is because you can just buff the nail, you know, or lightly, you know, just lightly buff the nail, you know, to apply these things rather than, you know, someone filing down your nail in preparation for the stinky acrylics, you know. It's
right.
It's just a more inviting experience, and when your nails come off, they're not paper thin, so you're just like, oh, finally, thank you, you know.
Right. Right.
No, you know, not that much. Because it's, I don't know about you, but I used to get my nails done all the time if I didn't have time to do it myself, like in high school. And, you know, when they run across that cuticle with that drill, you're like, okay, I'm you're about to ready to jump out of
right.
your seat. So it's nice
right.
that someone can just buff your nail, no, you know, like you're at the dentist, and freak you out.
Yeah, really.
You know, manicure and pedicure is still, even though you're getting false nails, it's still supposed to be a little bit more relaxing, you know. So getting acrylics wasn't always a relaxing experience. You feel like you had to watch your nail technician, you know. You're like, okay, just
mm-hmm.
don't make me bleed, please. Don't bleed me out. So that's
what?
That's what it is, really, is why people are kind of throwing acrylics over for gels. No smells, no pain, and healthy
right.
nails. What else can you ask for?
Yeah, well, I remember years ago when my sister turned me on to acrylic, and it was kind of before acrylic got popular. You know, it was out for a while, but this is before it got popular, and we tried the acrylic, and it was the way that the particular manicurist applied it. You know, I liked it. It wasn't, you know, really thick and all that. But after doing that for probably maybe a year, I guess, I was like, okay, you know, and I switched manicurists at the time. It seemed like I could think probably when I switched, that's when I started not to really like it as much. But I was like, okay, this is not for me. I liked my natural nail. I never had problems with growing my natural nail. I was only trying the acrylic just because, you know, something my sister talked me into, and I was like, okay. But I think when I became a manicurist, that was something that I was determined
I am not doing this acrylic because, like you said, you know, the smell. Though I will say when I was in nail school, we used the odorless, OPI introduced an odorless acrylic system.
I remember.
So, yeah. So it wasn't.
But is
it
wasn't
that
funny, though?
It wasn't bad.
Isn't that funny that in school you're like, no, odorless, but when you start working, it's like as soon as they open the door, you're like, you know, and make sure you always have to have ventilation wherever you rent it. So
exactly.
But the odorless stuff didn't really stay on.
Well, you know what?
And it was
and
it was runnier, remember? It was much runnier. Like you couldn't really, you're like, okay, this is the monomer and the powder together. It's just like goop. It wasn't as solid as like the stinky stuff. It was just
right.
Easier.
I was determined I'm going to be doing natural nails or I'm not going to be doing nails because I'm not going to be buying all of this odorless acrylic. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, my overhead is not going to be that much. So I was like away with the acrylic nails. But the gels weren't as popular back then at all. I mean,
right.
we did learn the technique, but no one, you know, most manicures rarely used it.
I must have went to a really bobo school because I was not taught gels at all. They're like fiberglass, silk wrap, acrylic. Okay, you pass. Boop. And kicked us out into the world. But, yeah. When gel came into play, I was at a nail show in Long Beach, and that's where I was introduced to it, like, 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They didn't
teach
us
anything. Yeah, it's been around for a while. That was part of our course. But when it came to the test, we didn't have to do the gel. We just had to do, you know, like, the acrylic. That was, you know, pretty much the biggest thing. But that's interesting. 4 years ago, wow.
Very true. I was like, oh, what's this? Gel? Oh, nice. I like the name. So I was like, okay, anything that'll help me, you know, get past the smell and just fill it in. But you know what really caught me was the shine. I think that's what really introduced everyone to gel is putting, you know, that gel overlay over, you know, the acrylic pink and white to keep the
mm-hmm.
shine. That's when people really started, oh, this gel thing. And I think that was a good introduction to gel to wean
nice.
You off of acrylics. Yeah.
So it's great that people are wanting to come out of the acrylic. People know, what is it with people wanting to have that thicker looking nail? Like, I really sometimes think people are afraid of their own natural nail. Like,
I don't think they're afraid of it. I think they're bored with it. Just like people that get, you know, tattoos everywhere. Some people just see art in a blank canvas and they want to put art there. You know, we're all like that. We all, you know, we don't always want to wear a black dress. We want to wear, like, a nice, snazzy print. So I think that's what it is, just adding a little bit more fun and fashion to your life with mink nails. Just more.
You said with mink nails?
Mm-hmm. Minks. The prints or, I mean, anything that's artistic, even hand-drawn nail art, you know, like the Mona Lisa or something like that.
I was referring to the acrylic. Like, a lot of people, you know, they're so used to having the acrylic on their nails and their nails being a lot thicker. You know, when they take the acrylic off, it's almost like I felt like they sometimes are afraid of their natural nail. Like, you know, it doesn't look as thick. It doesn't look as perfect. You know,
Well, that's very true. That's actually true. Because some people, you know, we all have different shaped nails. But once you get
mm-hmm.
into someone sculpting your, because it's sculpted nails, then you don't have to deal with if you have eggshell nails, you know. And you know, those are the nails that kind of grow out and they kind of bend upward. So when you have,
mm-hmm.
so your you're faced with the reality of what, you know, the shape of your fingertips and the shape of your nails versus what someone's created for you. So I think that's what it is, just like, you know, a nose job. Oh, you know, that's great. You know, my nose is fine, but a nose that you can make for me might be better. You know what I mean? It's just something that you're not happy with, a certain part that, you know, of your body that you're just not happy with. And especially, I know some people with eggshell nails really, really dislike having eggshell nails.
We don't all have,
you know, beautiful long nail bits like the girls in the ads. So,
well,
you know, some of us have like stubby fingers. So, but if we can get that, you know, that elongated nail, and then, you know, the white starts way at the end to make it look long and beautiful, you know, it's imaginary. It's something that you can have, you know, like putting on makeup.
So true.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to minx nails now. How did that craze come about?
Oh, wow. I think a lot of celebrity manicures started putting it on. Well, I think it was the Gold Lightning and the Silver Lightning that just took off. I mean, everyone loves mirror nails, and that's where the craze started. You know, just to see the fingers on stage and in videos, you're like, well, what is that? And at first you're like, what is that? You know, how did they get their nail like that? And it's so dazzling and so beautiful. You know, just something you can add to your, you know, mirrors or gold mirrors. It's just, I don't know. It took me by surprise. I loved it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is really cool. And then it started to come out and, you know, different motifs and, yeah, textures of clothes and herringbone. And I don't know. It's just a great look. It's a great look.
Right. And it's easy to do, right?
Yeah. You just heat it up. Make sure you dehydrate your nails with alcohol. Push back those cuticles and get it ready. Buff it down. You know, make it smooth, smooth surface in preparation, and lay it down and bend it over and over the tips of your nails, and then file off the excess, and then there you have your beautiful mink set of nails. Great.
Now, and you can apply those over acrylics and natural nails, correct?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Cool.
And
now,
if you want to, you can also put, if you want to, you can also put like a nice thin layer of gel over it as well. So,
oh, wow.
Keep it shiny. Okay. Keep it shiny. Because, yeah, because it's plastic. And as soon as it's kind of rubberized a little bit. So, you know, as soon as you hit it or scrape it up against something, it's going to get a little dull. So, you know, add like a nice little layer of gel to keep it shiny. We all love shiny, so.
Okay.
Keep it durable.
Speaking of natural nails, mm-hmm. How should one care for their natural nails? If they are not interested in the acrylic or the gel, how should one care for their natural nails to keep them healthy and strong?
Well, for me, the first thing is very simple, actually. Every time you wash your hands, please moisturize, because I think every time we let our hands go dry, that cuticle starts to flake up and separate, and it just becomes a problem. So the first thing is to just keep your hands in general moisturized, because, you know, us manicures, we don't just manicure the fingers, we manicure the whole hand. We give you a massage.
Right.
We give you a hand scrub. So we take care of the entire hand, and sometimes from the elbow to the fingertips. So moisturizer is one of the biggest things, and it'll definitely keep your cuticles down, keep them hydrated, keep your skin in general, you know, nicely hydrated. So you're likely to get less cuts and bruises and things like that, little nicks, because your skin won't be dry and just get cut. You know what I mean? It's very easy,
right,
for your skin to open up when it's dry. Second of all, I guess, I don't know, take a multivitamin. We've all worked on, you know, pregnant women, and those pregnant women come in and they've been taking those prenatal vitamins, and their nails are amazing. Their nails and hair are amazing. You know what I'm talking about. You almost want to pick some up for yourself, but you don't want to jinx yourself. You're like, hold on, wait a minute. I'm not ready for a baby, but I would like the hair and the nails. So, so it's just like a multivitamin is great. A multivitamin like biotin is very great. So those two things, of course, eating healthy and that's about it. Keep them filed so they don't rip or snag on anything, and you're good to go. Keep a nice, a nice hardener on your nails. That wouldn't be so bad either.
Right.
When you can. We can always.
I would think keeping your nails hard is what would help them to grow.
Yes. Absolutely.
So they're not brittle.
But that's where the moisturizer comes in. Because moisturizer isn't just for the cuticles and the hands. It's also for the nails.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
Moisture will keep everything lubed up and running like a well-oiled machine. Keep that system working.
Cool. Now, let me ask you. I was doing a little research, and I came across something I didn't know about.
Oh, my goodness.
So tell us a little bit about Neti Scrubs and what inspired you to create the product.
Oh, wow. When I was, before I was a fashion manicurist, I was always doing house calls, like I still do, but I was constantly running out of scrub. I remember I would always, every time I would go to Marshall's, because I'm kind of, I love shopping, I was like, oh, I need more scrub for my kid, I need more scrub. That was really a chance to really, help your client to indulge and relax. And one day I was just so fed up. I was like, why do I keep going to get these scrubs? And I would read the ingredients, and I was like, what? Do I really need all this just to, take some skin off? And I just started doing my research, and I was like, I got a bowl out, ordered some some lavender essential oil, do some sugar in a bowl, research, different fat contents on different oils, and I was like, all right, I'm going to choose grapeseed oil or whatever, something that's not too greasy, not too dry. Threw in the bowl, mixed it up. My clients loved it and said, do you sell this? Where'd you get this? It smells like great. My skin feels great. I was like, oh, I made it. And she was like, I remember I was in Hollywood somewhere on near Barham, and she was like, oh, do you sell it? And I was like, no. And she's like, why not? And I really couldn't answer that question. I was like, I don't know. So I made her some for our next visit and just gave it to her. And then I just kept getting that question, say, oh, do you sell this? And I was like, no. And I kind of started feeling stupid about it. I'm like, well, Neti, if they're asking for it, you obviously have a clientele that wants it. I want you to just go ahead and do that. And then, so then it just... Then people start asking me about moisturizers, so I came up with body balm and lip balm, and now I'm, working on a body oil, and it's a whirlwind business, but I love it. We have candles, and that also feeds into my creativity, because I just love doing stuff with my hands. I don't care if it's sewing or nail art or mixing up, a candle and gluing down the wig and putting on the labels. It's all, all feeds into my creative hunger, I guess. Something that I have to work with my hands. I have to.
And so you have a website for these oils. I mean, for these scrubs.
I do. It's netiscrub.com. And you can follow me on Neti Scrub on Twitter as well.
Yay. Yay. Well, cool, because I'm going to have to purchase some of these scrubs.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Cool.
Definitely be looking for that. and you still currently use these scrubs and all
my kit,
lot of your clients in your kit.
Yeah.
Now, you said you do a lot of house calls, so do you kind of consider yourself to be like a mobile manicurist?
I just call myself a manicurist. When it comes to my book and it has a lot of fashion in it, I'm a fashion manicurist. But I'm pretty much just a good old manicurist. And I am mobile, so I guess I am a mobile manicurist.
Yeah, because what I mean is, like, you don't work out of a salon.
No, just on my own. Freelance. Yeah.
Yeah. which is a good thing. Now, let me ask you, I know that you're from Texas,
mm-hmm.
and you were licensed in Texas. Now you live in West Hollywood, California. When you're working as a mobile artist or, mm-hmm. you know, when you're going to make house calls, because I know each state, you know, you're required to have a license, and normally that license is so that you can work out of salons. But because you make house calls or what have you, is it necessary if you're going to have a mobile business? Let's just call it that. I know you may call it something different, but for those manicurists who have a mobile business,
mm-hmm.
and that's all they do is go from one client to the next, you know, from one home to the next, or even sometimes have their client come to them in
right.
a home, not necessarily a salon. Is it necessary to be licensed in
it's
your
state? It's always necessary to be licensed. That's like saying, you know what, I'm really, really good at driving. I don't need to carry my license.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to show
right.
that you've gone to driving school and actually are qualified. I mean, if none of us need to go to school, then I guess we wouldn't have schools at all. So,
right.
yeah, you absolutely. And for especially when you're freelance and you're on your own, you also need to own up to, you know, you need to be bonded as well. You need to have insurance because it's your business. So if something happens to go wrong and you have a disgruntled client that possibly wants to sue you for the finger you cut off, then, then you need to show, oh, you know, I do have a license and I do know about, you know, certain elements of fingernails and things like that. And you know, I do, you know, and of course, you know, not just with your license also comes, you know, they know that you know how long to keep, you know, your implements sanitized and things like that. So if you don't have your license, it's just, to me, I think it's just very unprofessional. So just get your license.
Yeah, I agree.
Get your license and,
well,
you know, the,
well,
so you can answer more questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I asked that question because, you know, with the different states, and I'll speak for Maryland where I'm from, when I went to school, they put an emphasis on needing a license when you're working out of a salon. And then I was doing some work for a salon in D.C., and I think the salon manager or owner was saying something to me about asking me was I licensed in D.C. because she was interested in me, you know, working, like, consistently out of her salon. And so the reason why I asked that is because, you know, there's a lot of manicurists who will work out of their own homes or, you know, go from client to client to client. And I was just wondering, you know, especially since if they come from different states, you know, they may have a license from Georgia but not have a license in Maryland when they move to Maryland, you know, something like that. I was wondering if you had to have a license to work out of your home or to go to someone else's home to work. I agree totally that I believe if you're providing a service, you should be licensed. Because, number one, the important thing that the state looks at is sanitation. You know, because
mm-hmm.
you can study all about, like, and I'll speak for myself, when I was in nail school, you know, we had all these tests and we studied all this stuff about diseases and you know, proper sanitation and acrylics and, you know, how to file the nails, how to do a French manicure, how to do this, how to do that. And when it came down to that exam, the main focus was sanitation. You might have had two questions about acrylic, one question about nail diseases, and the other 95, you know, were about sanitation. You know, so that's why
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's very important that you do have a license, just like you said, and be insured and bonded and all of that. But I ask that question because I don't want other manicurists out there to think that, well, if I'm a mobile manicurist, you know, it's any different from working out of a salon. You still need to have that stuff.
Oh yes.
No matter
you always
no matter
always need to be clean.
No matter what. Yeah, you have to have that to be prepared. But again, I agree. It's very unprofessional to me to not have it. Same thing. I even say the same thing. I know a lot of states don't recognize makeup artistry as something that needs to have a license. I really feel like you should. I think you should have a license. You should go. I believe you should go through a state program. To me, it's just. It's just necessary. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
So we are winding down to the last 4 minutes of the show. And I wanted to ask you, well, first, if there's anything else that you wanted the listening audience to know. Again, you give out your Twitter and your Nettie Scrubs.
Yeah, spell,
and any
spell
other.
Your name. Spell your name for me, Nettie. Nettie.
IE instead of Netty. Okay.
Yeah.
You couldn't find her on Twitter. Is that what it was?
No, I was trying to look up her site and I couldn't.
Oh, okay.
Get it.
Netty Scrub. One word.
Netty Scrub.
Netty Scrub.
Nettie Scrub.
And that's also mm-hmm. it's Nettie Scrubs on Twitter.
Yes.
And then that website is the same for the actual scrub.
It is.
Cool. Well, we normally ask all of our guests the same question toward the end of the show. And my question to you is, what is beauty to you?
Ah, wow. Beauty to me is confidence. I think that anyone that truly knows, like, and has faith in themselves and truly believes they can pursue their dreams and really make their art happen and just know that they're able, I think that's beautiful.
Nice. Well, with that being said, that is our time. So we just wanted to thank you again for joining us tonight. For those of you who liked tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite. Leave us a comment here on Blog Talk Radio. Mark the show as a favorite. Leave us a comment. And even send us an email to let us know what else you would like to hear on Beauty Talk. Again, thank you, Nettie. We'll be following you on Twitter.
Thank you.
So get to tweeting. I know that's not your thing, but start tweeting. And thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a good time. Thanks, lady.
Cool. So we're having problems with our nails. We may call on you.
Okay. No problem. Any questions?
Okay.
I welcome it.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And thanks, everyone, for joining us. Again, go out and mark the page as a favorite if you enjoyed tonight's show, and we will chat with you next week. Good night.
Good night.